We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is the Oklahoma State Cowboy Insider from Learfield IMG College. Now, here is your host, the voice of the Cowboys, Dave Hunziker.
It's Bedlam Week. Of course, Bedlam's brought to you by our friends at Phillips 66, and a guy with a lot of fuel, always, is Dion Amati, who's lived the Bedlam experience. And so, what's that like? I mean, you didn't grow up in Oklahoma. You grew up in Texas. But what's it like? What's it like for a player? You were on the good side of one of those in a big way in 2011. But what's it like?
It's the week is pretty intense. It's as far as knowing how much of a big game it is. I mean, growing up in Texas, I mean, I've talked about this before. You know all about Oklahoma and Oklahoma State and Bedlam. I mean, it's not that far away. It's one of those big time games, and it's a situation where an in-state rivalry is always something to be talked about, especially when you're a big time football fan. And the fact of the matter is we haven't had our best of lucks in these games. And so that makes it even more nerve wracking. And so as a player, you know what's coming up, and these last couple of years, these games have been, a lot has been on the line. And because that, and you knowing what coming up and what's ahead of you and what you could gain from winning this game, it intensifies it in every aspect.
As far as Oklahoma State's concerned, you've had a bye week coming off the Kansas State win. You were really beat up going into Kansas State. Now it looks like you will be considerably healthier at a lot of key positions going into Bedlam. The importance of that can't be overstated, right? I mean, we're talking about some experienced guys. I mean, you know, hopefully maybe you'll have Colby Harvell Peel back. You may have one or two offensive linemen back. You know, looks pretty good for Tylan Wallace as far as we can tell. I mean, you stop and think about it. That Kansas State game, this was a really depleted team. You know, players that played that were beat up, that didn't practice much, and others that were out. You're talking about some elite players, All-American wide receiver and first team all Big 12 safety. That's just the starting point.
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, that Kansas State win was a really gutsy win. I mean, that's a character builder, because of the fact of the matter is it took everybody out on that field to just get across those goal lines and get a victory and get into the win column. I mean, on defense alone, they played 21 guys, 21. I'm talking about, you know, if Kobe Harbell Pills there, I bet you 22. So that's two units playing on defense. And it takes every one of them to get a victory and create some turnovers so we can scratch out a win. And even with the injuries coming into play, it looked like an injured team. Like, let's be honest, you can't sugarcoat that. I mean, just guys hobbling off the side every other play and, you know, guys that you would look up and say, where is he at? And you could see some of the guys were just laboring when they would get up. I mean, they looked beat up. And with everything that's happened this year, and you know this as much as I do, with the games being pushed back and us playing later when we've already been practicing the same amount, it's adding a lot more to these guys' plate and just putting a lot more of punishment onto their bodies, because these practices aren't light. They're not pillow fighting out there. You're still doing hard work. And so your body takes a toll and you're seeing some injuries pile up that you would normally see at the end of the season when guys are just beat up, happen right now in the meat of the season where you need your top dogs to be ready and hungry to eat.
So as far as Spencer Sanders, the quarterback, is concerned, pertaining to this game, what excites you about opportunities for him that might exist in this specific game? And what makes you a little bit anxious about things that might occur in this game against Oklahoma?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, there's nobody that doesn't know this. I mean, it's not a hidden secret. The part of the unit that isn't good for OU or on the lesser end is that secondary. They've had some complaints throughout the years. They've faced some tough battles. People have taken advantage of them. And hopefully our quarterback is able to be one of those guys that's taking advantage of that secondary and seeing what he can do and gain some advantages there. Now, the part that scares me is that defensive line. And I'm sure we'll talk about this more in the pregame show and more later on. But that defensive line is scary, man. They've done some good things. Although, I mean, the sack numbers are a little over-exaggerated from my standpoint. They had 9 against Kansas, where have 26 in total. That's like 33% of their sacks happening in one game. So those numbers, but I mean, you can see the athletes that they have on that D-line, especially with Perkins and Benito and the defensive tackle they have coming up the middle, that his name escapes me right now, but he's a baller. I'm a little hesitant on seeing Spencer Sanders back there with our offensive line getting over some injuries and him back there holding that ball. And he's shown, you know, one of the things that have been a big negative from him this year is not knowing when to tuck that ball and run, being indecisive with the football in his hand, putting that offensive line in a bad situation where he's just hanging on to it for like 4 or 5 seconds when that clock's got to go off in your head and you got to get out of here. And with that defensive line back there, that's not a good idea.
So as far as Oklahoma going against Oklahoma State's man coverage, I mean, we talked a lot about that going into the Kansas State game. How do you see that playing out?
Well, I mean, Oklahoma's starting to get some of their athletes back, okay? So it's a situation where, you know, Hazelwood, their big-time recruit from last year who played pretty well as a freshman, he's come back into the fold. I haven't seen a lot of production from him, but he's getting back into the swing of things. They found a new freshman, Mims, who came from Dallas, who has been talked about all over the Big 12 and has been very impressive. One of those freshmen that is being looked upon heavily. I think it's between him and Deuce, the Kansas State running back, for freshman of
Deuce
the year.
Vaughn, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, they've got some athletes on the outside, but again, one of the things that brings me much concern is the way Lincoln Riley is able to scheme up against defenses and use that tight end and use that fullback. Kansas State used that fullback pretty well 2 weeks ago against us. And I bet you Lincoln Riley saw that and is drawing up some things and is going to be able to use that number 27 Hall into their passing game. I think that's something we got to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I think the fire that's sort of been started, and don't worry, folks, every team, unless you're like Alabama or Clemson, has some fire that gets started at some point. When I say that, someone's discovered your weakness and a way to attack it. And what looks like has been the case with Oklahoma State recently is, with all the man coverage, a lot of crossing routes, lot of misdirection. And then in the case of Kansas State, the quarterback run game, part of that had to do with the Cowboys being beat up at safety. I think the Cowboys might hold up better when they're full speed against the quarterback run game. I that's what I would say. You know, Trey Sterling was beat up, didn't practice all week. Colby Harvell-Peel obviously did not play, but you know, the crossing routes, the misdirection, that's the fire that has been started. Now you have to figure out, I'm using your terms here, Dion. I hope you don't mind, but it's such a great illustration. That's the fire that right now I think the defense has to put out. Would you agree?
I very much so think so. I mean, it was situations where I was watching that game and although we got out with a win, I was sitting on my couch on Saturday thinking, like a lot of people, we made some mistakes there that people and smart offensive coordinators are going to go back and look at on film and say, you're going to see it early in the game. You're going to see them go to it and see if they took care of the mistake, if they corrected it. If they did not, they will continue to exploit that and they will see it as a weakness. These guys have to be on their P's and Q's, especially early in the game, especially on those tight ends, on those fullbacks and those crossing routes.
You know, Dion, I felt like even when Oklahoma lost to Kansas State and Iowa State, I felt like they're going to get going. They had obviously multiple players suspended. And you get the impression maybe they were one of those teams that had some COVID funk going on. And you kind of read what Lincoln Riley has said. I think that is making that more and more of a possibility. Everybody managed that situation differently. You know, Lincoln Riley was pretty outspoken in saying he really wasn't sure it was a good idea to be playing. And he's certainly entitled to say what he thinks, and he does it with the best intentions in mind. That's how he feels. And that's not to say that impacted his team, but every team, you know, I think Iowa State was a team that maybe had some COVID funk going on. And they were down a couple of key players for that opening game against Louisiana. But I always thought Oklahoma would get right. Spencer Rattler would get some experience. They would get those guys back from suspension. And if there was some COVID funk, they'd snap out of it. Here we are.
And here's the thing. In this day and age, I don't think anybody's been able to escape a situation where the COVID hasn't hit your team or your organization or your state in a very, you know, intense way. And it's about weathering the storm and finding your way out of it. We don't know. I mean, it's as far as, you know, just understanding the situation and, you know, putting our heads together, seeing what took place and seeing the numbers that's missing from your bench and your sideline, you can put 1 + 1 = 2 and figure things out.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is those guys are back now and they do look like they are starting to find their form. They do look like they got some of their pieces that were missing back on the field and they're looking, you know, ready to go. And the thing about OU and the thing about OU in recent years is their offensive line, is the straw that stirs that drink. And as much as it's a hidden secret, it's not a hidden secret because every time you see them, you see these stats about how big that offensive line is and how, you know, aggressive they are. And that's the thing that I think once those guys get going, watch out.
Okay, as we wrap things up, I'll put you on the spot. If Oklahoma State's going to win, what has to happen?
If Oklahoma State's going to win, I think we have to run the football. And I think primarily we have to do it with the quarterback run game. Because like you said, these guys are going to run man. And they're going to load the box because of that. And if that's going to be the case, I think we have to get an extra blocker in there. I think we have to get the running backs involved in some of those blockings and get that number matchup. And we're going to have to let Spencer Sanders be dynamic with his legs and his arm.
Very good. Well, we'll see Saturday night. That's Dion Amati. I'm Dave Hunziker. Thanks for watching or listening, and we will talk to you later in the week.
This has been the Oklahoma State Cowboy Insider. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation.